First, though, we're going to talk to Bruce Williamson, a good friend of ours from Rail Futures, because there's been a report that's come out that says that travelling to work on the train now is actually stressing more people out than anything. So what we're going to try and do is find a positive spin for this as well. Bruce, a very good morning to you.
Good morning. Yeah, it is very difficult to find positive.
Oh, come on. You're obviously not trying hard enough. I was just talking to Rachel Jewell, who suffers from probably more stress than most people coming into work every morning, because she has to come in, I think, on Southwest trains. But she was saying, this is great. You know, she said there's a guy who's a guard on the train who every single morning makes these ridiculously kind of funny announcements and refers to ABBA songs throughout. So, you know, talks about, you know, make sure you don't leave your money on the train when you get off and that kind of thing. And it's very British, it's very English, you know, the train might be late, but at least people are having a laugh.
Well, indeed, and I suppose, you know, sometimes it's those little things, isn't it, that can make the difference in a sort of otherwise fairly dull and stressful situation. So, yeah, hats off to that guy.
Mm.
What else can we say about positive about the trains? Well, they are more popular than almost ever. You know, passenger numbers continue to rise, so despite the overcrowding and the expensive fares, people still want to use the train, so they must be doing something right.
I must admit, I did slightly lose the will to live yesterday, I think it was, when I was coming out of a tube station, and I heard an announcement where the announcer said, yeah, there are delays this morning due to a shortage of trains. And I thought, no, I've heard it all now, because normally it's a shortage of drivers, sometimes it's, engineering works overrunning, but to actually not have enough trains... Sounds quite serious.
Well, it is. It's a bit of an oversight. But actually, you know, that's actually a big story across the railway. We do have a huge shortage of trains.
Yeah.
You know, there just aren't enough. And that's why, you know, people are sort of squashed in like sardines. So, you know, we're playing catch-up, really. There are new trains being bought, the trains being built and being put into service, but it ain't enough and it ain't soon enough.
No, indeed. But I suppose the fact that, as you say, the trains are so busy in the morning is very much a triumph of hope over experience, isn't it? Because everybody who turns up for a train service in the morning to get to work, because it's maybe the only way they can get to work, is always going to expect that it's not going to work terribly well.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, that's part of the sort of British cynicism, isn't it? But actually, you know, most of them do get to work. Well, I hope all of them get to work eventually. Although, you know, if we look back to last year, when there was that terrible timetable chaos in May and June, there were some examples of some lines where basically the, I think it was Northern, they just basically gave up altogether.
Yes.
And there were no trains for like several weeks,
right.
Which is... You know,
but I mean, the good news on that front, Bruce, and I mean, this is your job to tell me the good news, not my job to tell you. But I mean, they've done it again since then, and it was a bit better managed this time, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I think they've learnt their lesson. I think they got their fingers burnt so badly on that one, and it was such a fiasco that, lessons have been learned. I'm pleased to say.
Yes.
But, you know, inevitably, when you make changes, what's the old saying about making omelets without breaking eggs? You know, it's a
You can't make an omelette without breaking a few eggs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, when you're
can't get omelettes on the trains, though,
well,
of course,
no,
can you?
No, famously. When you want to sort of improve things by, you know, engineering works and so on, that causes disruption and everyone hates the replacement bus service. But it's got to be done. Can I just highlight one other positive? Which perhaps,
listen, we're all about positives this morning. It may be the only chance you get, Bruce.
Yeah, we have, if not the one of the safest railways in Europe.
There you go.
We haven't had a passenger fatality since Greyrig, which I think was about 11 years ago. And that's the safest the railways have ever been.
Uh-huh.
So that's something to be proud of. You know,
that is something to be proud of. It is something to be proud of. I mean, I suppose the naysayers will say, well, I mean, you should expect to be able to get on a train without, you know, being killed in an accident. But, I mean, you're right to say that that's a good thing. What about this year and what it holds for the rail business? Because, of course, we hear an awful lot about, you know, the franchises not working terribly well. Some franchises maybe being taken away from some companies and given to others. You know, of Jeremy Corbyn's constant refrain, although it doesn't look like he's going to get his wish for a general election. You know, he wants to renationalise it all. What are we going to see, do you think, this year?
Well, I mean, you're right to highlight the sort of the general political scene, and I'm not really an expert, so who knows what may happen. I mean, if Jeremy Corbyn became Prime Minister, he would renationalise the railways. If the railways were renationalised, actually, we wouldn't see much difference, because we would still have the same trains operating on the same line, run by the same people.
Right.
There's a guy called Williams who is doing a review of the railway, sort of basically having a big look at the big picture, what needs to be changed, how do we make it better. So we, like other organisations, will be throwing our hat into the ring and saying this is what you need to do.
Okay.
And it's open to the public. Everyone can do it. You know, interested parties can contribute and say this is what needs to be done. But obviously, there's not much point sort of having a whinge and saying, oh, it's terrible, trains are late and overcrowded, because we all know that. You know, it's about finding solutions.
Presumably, there are some companies that are slightly better than others, though, are there?
Oh, indeed, yes. I mean, obviously, let's go back to Northern and GTR. You know, they're the sort of bad boys, whereas traditionally, I don't know whether it's still the case, but Chiltern had a good reputation.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, the performance figures are published and public satisfaction scores are published, so some railways do better than others. And I think, you know, there's possibly lessons to be learned there. You know, how is one train company doing better than the other? And what tricks can they borrow on the poor performing railways to make them better?
No, indeed. Bruce, thank you very much indeed. Bruce Williamson there from Rail Futures, being as positive as he can be about the railway business, which is not exactly...